All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So first of all, a tremendous yasher kach to everybody who braved the elements this morning to come and to learn. So let's begin today, Yemir Tzashem, Kapitel Chavav, chapter 26 in Tehillim. And we're going to spend the next couple of weeks focusing on this particular kapitel. So let's first take a read through it, although this week we're really going to spend a little bit on the background of the kapitel. So the kapitel is the following, L'David. To David, Shafteni Hashem ki ani bitumi halachti, ubahashem batachti lo emad. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked with sincerity. I trusted in the Lord, I shall not falter. Bechaneni Hashem, examine me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vinaseni, try me. Tzarfa kil yosai vilibi, refine my reins and my heart. Ki chastecha leneged einai, your kindness is always opposite my eyes. Vis halachti ba'amitecha, and I walked in your truth. Lo yashavti im seishav v'im na'alomim lo avo. I did not sit with dishonest men, neither did I go with hypocrites. Sanesi kahal mereim v'im rishoim lo eishav. I hated the congregation of evildoers, and I did not sit with the wicked. Erchatz bini kayon kapai v'asova es mizbechacho Hashem. I washed my hands with cleanliness, and I encompassed your altar, Hashem. V'shmoa b'kol tovda ulisaper kol niflosecha. To proclaim thanksgiving with a loud voice, and to recite all your wonders. Pasuk Ches, Hashem ahavti ma'om beisecha umekom mishkan kivodecha. O Lord, I love the dwelling of your house and the place of the residence of your glory. Al te'esof imcha to'im nafshi v'im anshei damim chayai. Gather not my soul with the sinners, nor my life with the men of blood. Asher b'yedehem zima v'minam mala shochad. In whose hands are plots and whose right hand is full of bribery. Va'ani betumi eilech beteini v'chaneni. My foot stood on the straight path. Excuse me. But I walk with sincerity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. And finally, ragli amda b'mishor b'makilim avarech Hashem. My foot stood on a straight path. I will bless the Lord in assemblies. So what is the kapitel talking about? If you don't know, that's okay. Because remember, as we've already mentioned in a number of different times, Tehillim, and this is the difficulty, you know, the power of Tehillim is on one hand, it has such a profound effect, even if you have no idea what it is that you're saying. On the other hand, when you try to learn Tehillim and you begin to translate the words and you begin to realize that it just doesn't make sense, which, now why doesn't it make sense? Because remember, Tehillim, as we've mentioned many times, is poetry. So poetry often is not understood at first glance, but rather requires a little bit more of in-depth study to truly appreciate what it is that the author is trying to convey. And especially what complicates this even more, of course, is the fact that very often Hebraic poetry does not translate well into English. In general, if there's one thing that's difficult to translate, it's poetry, because so much has to do with the actual word associations that are lost very often upon translation. So let's spend a little bit of time trying to understand what David HaMelech is trying to convey in this kapitel. So if I were to ask you, just straight off, what already tells you from the beginning that this is a very profound and important kapitel? The David. Remember again, this is actually the same introduction we had to the previous kapitel of Chafei. Take a look at number 2. Rav Shem Shnufar Hirsch comments and he says, this superscription of this psalm is LeDavid, not Mizmor LeDavid, or not LeDavid Mizmor. Remember, we've spent much time focusing on the fact that in the opening phrase of any particular kapitel, David HaMelech sets the tone for what the kapitel is going to accomplish. So for example, there's Mizmor LeDavid, LeDavid Mizmor. What's the distinction between the two? Right? Mizmor LeDavid means what? Or I should say, LeDavid Mizmor means? David is in a state of personal inspiration. He's self-inspired. David HaMelech is already on the level to begin to go ahead and recite the particular kapitel. Versus Mizmor LeDavid means what? David needs to inspire himself. David is not inspired. The way David HaMelech often brought about inspiration was how? Through music, right? We find, by the way, it's not just David HaMelech. We find many examples of this throughout the Nevi'im, of people who try to induce prophecy or at least communion with God through music. So the David Mizmor, David is in a state ready for prophecy. Mizmor, the David must self-inspire, and David does that through the medium of music. So it says Rav Hirsch, but what are you doing? It's not Mizmor LeDavid Mizmor, but instead it's just LeDavid. So remember what Rav Hirsch said. Actually, part A is from the last chapter, from Kapitel Chaf A. Rav Hirsch writes, Here, we do not see David gaining inspiration on the wings of song, nor do we have here the outpourings of divine rapture coming from a full heart. In this psalm, David simply states the emotions and thoughts that fill his soul. This is already the same as we saw in last capital, that LeDavid means a free flow of Davidic consciousness and thought. This is not prophecy. This is not the word of God. This is not a message of the Ribono Shel Olam. In a capital that just simply begins with what Rafersh calls the superscription, the opening word, LeDavid, just know we are getting a window into the soul, into the heart, into the mind of David HaMelech. Just like we saw in last capital, David HaMelech was giving us what to him were some of the most important concepts in life. We're going to see a similar capital here. Rav Hirsch goes on in letter B. He says, this is actually from this capital, for the explanation of use, skip to the second sentence, paragraph B. In Psalm 26:2, we have simple statements expressing the thoughts and emotions within David's soul. Here, David has set down the principles, attitudes, and resolutions which have guided all of his life and his endeavors. Meaning, remember, we've already established the fact that there are different kinds of kapitlach. There are some chapters that are focused on what? On events happening in David HaMelech's life. They're a response to particular events. There are other kapitlach that are prophetic in nature, refer to events that have not yet unfolded. And remember, there's a third type of kapitel, which is what? What? Prayer, right? Good, a supplication, because David HaMelech is in trouble. Good, what else? The third type really is something that has absolutely nothing to do with David. Remember, we've already established earlier that there are certain chapters of Tehillim that were not authored by David HaMelech. David did not write all of Sefer Tehillim. He may have compiled all of Sefer, but there are many chapters, so to speak, that were recited before David HaMelech. For the most notable example of this is? What else, even more well-known, is Hallel. In fact, the Gemara brings down that much of Hallel was actually recited by our ancestors when we crossed the Red Sea. Bitseis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'am Loes was a kapitel, was a song that was sung by the Jewish people, literally at the Yamsuf, at the Red Sea. So Rav Hirsch is saying over here that LeDavid means, David HaMelech is telling us, I want to tell you the things that are important to me. Now, this could take on one of two forms. This could tell us, as we saw in last capital, some of the things that are necessary for successful living. And David HaMelech is telling us a general idea about how to live successfully. Or David HaMelech is giving us a little bit of a window into his world. I want you to know me. I want you to understand me. Because if you understand me, the author, then what? Then what? Then you will have a better understanding of my works. So what is David HaMelech saying in this capital? So look at paragraph B. So Rav Hirsch writes, paragraph C. Shafteini. So what is David saying? So let's just look for a moment, according to Rav Hirsch, at this first pasuk. So look back up to number one for just a moment. LeDavid. So now we know again, David HaMelech is giving us not inspiration, I shouldn't say different, not prophecy from above, not self-prophecy. David HaMelech is giving us, you have to understand something, that authors very often, when they write, they use an alter ego. Right, meaning for an author to allow you entrance into their world is a very big thing. So for David HaMelech to tell us that I'm not just going to tell you about things that happen, I'm going to tell you about me, is very profound. So what is David HaMelech telling us about him? Look back up in number one for just a moment. LeDavid, Shafteini Hashem, God, judge me, ki ani betumi halachti. Because I have walked with sincerity. That's how he's translating to me is sincerity. To me could also mean what? Completion, right? Like tamim tihya im Hashem Elokecha. His halich lefonai v'yei tamim. Tamim usually means complete. It's often erroneously translated as perfection. Right? Some translations have tamim tihya im Hashem Elokecha means to be perfect with God. Why can tamim not mean perfection? It's impossible. And the good news is that God does not demand that of us. Ribono Shel Olam has very realistic expectations of what we can and what we cannot do. And never does God ever demand of us to be perfect. He demands of us to be good. He demands of us to push ourselves, to try to grow, but perfection never. So, ki ani betumi halachti, I've walked with you with completion, Lord, or sincerity, u'b'Hashem batachti, and I have trusted in God, lo emad, I shall not falter. So look what Rav Hirsch says in paragraph C. And here Rav Hirsch makes an amazing observation. He says, shafteini, judge, O Lord, how far I have advanced in my moral endeavors. Judge thou whether I am now upon the right path to what is good and right. I have not walked bitam, in absolute moral integrity, but merely in bitumi, my own moral integrity, as I've understood and endeavored to practice it, mustering all the strength of my being for this purpose. Thus far, I have merely let myself be guided by my own good intentions, confident that the Lord would not allow me to stumble. So this is amazing. Says our first, you know what's unfolding over here? L'David, David HaMelech, remember, is giving us a window into his own soul. Shafteini, judge me. Now, why is he asking God to judge him? Ki ani bitumi halachti. You know, HaKadosh Baruch, you know how I live? You know how I live? David HaMelech lives just like the rest of us, or he lived just like the rest of us live, which is how? Right? Day to day, trying our best. Trying our best. And what is the great challenge of life? What's the great challenge of life? Right? So trying our best, and wondering to ourselves, is it really good enough? Is it really good? Ribono shel olam, are you happy with me? Because, you know, very often in life, most of life is not black, most of life is not white, most of life is gray. And the difficulty, you see, for the black and whites of life, we have laws, we have mitzvahs, we have a Torah that's quite explicit. The gray, the great gray of life, there is no mitzvah, there is no halacha, there's no simin, there's no chapter in Shulchan Aruch. The great gray in life, you have to try to navigate on your own. And we try our best, but at the end of the day, we always wonder to ourselves, am I living correctly? Did I make the right decisions? And the truth is, if you don't have this life anxiety, I'm sorry to say, it's only because you're not thinking enough. Because everyone has this life anxiety. Because every single day, whether we do it in our relationships, whether we do it in our marriages, we do it with our children, we do it with ourselves, we have to make decisions. We have to plot a particular course. And the truth is, we're never 100% sure if we've made the right decisions. I feel like I've done the best that I can. Could I have done more? Could I have done differently? It's possible, yes. But I think I've tried my best. See, here what you have, David HaMelech, it's so profound. It says Rav Hirsch, David HaMelech saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what my greatest struggle is in life? And remember, you have to appreciate this for what it is. David HaMelech has incredible struggles. If there's one thing we've seen through our study of Tehillim, whatever problem you think you have, David HaMelech had it times 10. The only problem David HaMelech maybe didn't have was what? Was money, right? But it's interesting because you also know in life, even if you have money, if you have a lot of other problems, the truth is all the money in the world is not going to help it. If you have money, but you don't have shalom in your marriage, you don't have shalom with your children, you're not a healthy individual. And David HaMelech suffered from all of these things. David HaMelech suffered from sickness. David HaMelech suffered from turbulence in marriage. David HaMelech suffered from turbulence with children. Plenty of money. Money, more than money than one could spend in multiple lifetimes. But he suffered. But David HaMelech says, yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite all of that, you know the thing that bothers me, not bothers me, but the thing that troubles me most? Ani bitumi halachti. I've done the best I can, but you know what I need from you, God? I need a performance review. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to sit, is that the right term for it? Right? You know, I need an evaluation, a performance evaluation. I need a job evaluation. I need you to sit down with me. And I need you to tell me, how am I doing? Because I don't know. I'm trying my best. I'm making the decisions to the best of my ability. But Shaftini, tell me, how am I measuring up? And this is amazing because I'd like to say I'm tamim. I'd like to say that I'm complete. I'd like to say that I'm doing all that you want me to do. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are so many parts of life that are unscripted that I just have to follow my own intuition. Ani bitumi halachti. I'm complete. I try to be good, but I do it. I have to make a lot of decisions on my own. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me understand if I'm living correctly. So according to Rav Hirsch, this is, remember, all we're going to try to do today is try to establish the thematic overtone of the kapitel. Next week in Mir Tashem, we'll go back and we'll plug in the details. So according to Rav Hirsch, what's happening over here, L'David, David HaMelech saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, God, I've had to do a lot, there is a lot of guesswork in life, and I've had to perform a lot of guesswork. I'm asking for some type of affirmation. You don't have to give me a shkayach if I don't deserve it. If I've made mistakes, tell me, but then help me engage in course-correcting activity. Why? Because look how the first pasuk ends. U'b'Hashem batachti. Because God, you know what I trust in? I trust in that you will help me engage in course-correcting activity if I need to do that, and therefore, lo emad. I don't want to falter. I don't want to fall on my face. I'm making the decisions to the best of my ability, but Ribono Shel Olam, I need some divine feedback to see how I'm doing in this thing called life. That's Rav Hirsch. The other Mefarshim take it a little bit differently. For example, if you look at the Radak understands that David is actually saying something different. L'David Shafteni Hashem, Shafteni Ure'ei, Im Livavi Yashar Elecha, Ukepi Livavi Shafteni. So interestingly enough, and this becomes almost like the dominant theme, really 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All highlight the same basic idea. That what is David HaMelech asking over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to go ahead and judge me. Why? Keep it or for what? Keep it to me. Now, Rav Hirsch understood to me, really he focuses more on, I've made my decisions in life based on what I think is right and wrong. Of course, using the Torah as my guide, but the Torah can't address every single situation. And so I've had to do a lot of guesswork. I'm asking for divine affirmation or divine reproach. It's okay, if I made a mistake, it's the greatness, by the way, really great people are never, how do you tell between a great person and a not great person? Is ability and willingness to own mistakes. That's the fundamental distinction. Great people are more than happy, A, to have their mistakes pointed out and to own their mistakes, too. And number three, engage in course-correcting activity. Great people, you know, it's not our topic for today, but one of the greatest disservices that's been done in the history of our people is we often have a need to deify our great leaders of the past, right? God forbid if you should say that anyone, that David HaMelech made a mistake, that Sarimedo made a mistake, I'm pointing those out specifically, or that anyone was less than perfect. Just like, you know, there was a book that came out a while ago. If you still have it, you could actually make a lot of money from it. It was called My Uncle the Netziv. Right? So My Uncle the Netziv, Mamishit, was put out, I think it was originally put out by the Lakewood Cheder, you know, they put out little biographies, and then it was very quickly taken off the shelves because there were people who felt that it contained blasphemy. What was the blasphemy? That Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin was not a genius. He was not a genius. Remember, Rav the Netziv was one of the Korashi Yeshiva in Valozhin with the Soloveitchik family. The Soloveitchiks are brilliant. The Netziv was not a boy genius. He wasn't. I said, how did he become the Netziv? Because he never left the Beis Medrash. He applied himself. He pushed himself. There are some people who are born, remember, just so you understand, if you have a wonderful memory, you have a photographic memory, you're very analytical, you don't get a shkayach for that because you didn't do anything for that. The Ribono Shel Olam gave that to you. Okay, you have a choice now to make as to how to use it. So there were some who were outraged that you could say that the Netziv wasn't brilliant. I say, just the opposite. The fact that somebody's brilliant and they become a Gadol BaTorah, they only did half of the work. Because Ribono Shel Olam did 50% of that work by giving them incredible intellectual and mental prowess. But someone who did not have that and actively worked on that, that's an incredible accomplishment. But we get nervous to speak about shortcomings of great people because we think that if we begin to highlight their shortcomings, we're going to talk about them just like me and you. But the amazing part is the Ribono Shel Olam has a Torah filled with people's shortcomings, great people's shortcomings. Why? Because the only way they become real role models for us is if they're deficient, is if they have mistakes. Because if they're perfect, then I have nothing to, I'm not perfect. You could ask my wife. I am not perfect, right? But again, if otherwise, there's nothing for me to learn from these individuals if they are perfect and I am not. So the Radak understands over here something amazing. The Radak says a little bit differently. The Radak says, Shafteni, what is David HaMelech being asked? What is he asking for judgment for? Shafteni ure'e im livavi yashar elecha ukefi livavi shafteni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I want you to look at? Don't just look at my actions. I want you to look at my heart as well. Because says Radak, and in fact, skip actually to number 7. Here, the Malbim says something amazing. The Malbim writes, L'David b'tfilazu yaskir ki einenu mekat hatzavuim hameleim ra b'seser V'chofnim begaloi. The Malbim says, you know, the world is filled with people who project one external image, but internally are fundamentally broken people. They project an image of external piety, but internal depravity. So says the Malbim, David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not a person like that. The Malbim has a wonderful phrase over here. He says, Osim ma'aseh zimri, u'mevakshim schar kepinchos. They act, so remember, Zimri was the tribal prince who engaged in a public act of immorality with a Midianite woman by the name of Cozbi. But, so there are people who privately are like Zimri in their lives, but externally, they want the reward like Pinchas. Remember, Pinchas is the one who killed Zimri and Cozbi and was ultimately given a bris shalom by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, the truth is, if we're honest, all of us do this in some way. And the truth is, that's just because we're not supposed to wear our sins on our sleeves, right? I'm not supposed to share with you what I have done wrong. You're not supposed to share with me what I... So by definition, we all have this little bit of a disconnect between what we are internally and what we are externally. The difference is what the Malbim is referring to over here is people who live their lives knowing that there's this disconnect and go out of their way to project an image to fool others, to go ahead and project an image of piety when in fact they're not doing anything internally to back up that image. David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you know that I'm imperfect. God, you know more than anyone that I'm imperfect. But just know, I might be imperfect, but I'm what? I'm what? One word. I'm genuine. That as imperfect as I am, no, I don't try to project someone that I'm not. I'm broken, I'm flawed, I have my faults, but know that I am genuine in my desire to become better. So look at the last lines, number 7. Shafteini Hashem. So David HaMelech says, judge me, God. Rotzalomar, Ata techave ma mishpati ve'inyani. God, you decide what my judgment should be. Va'ata yodea sha'ani tzadik. Bein b'ma'aseh, ki ani b'tumi halachti. Bein b'matzon ve'emunas ha'leif. Ki ba'ashem batachti bitochon chazak shlo emad mimeno b'shum pa'am. So according to the Malbim, and the truth is, it's not just the Malbim, it's really everyone that I quoted to you before. I'm just not going to go through it. 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. The Ebenezer, the Radak, the Mitzvah, that's David. All of this idea that David Amai is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you may have many problems with me, but know one thing. One thing you have to give me credit for, and it's what? I'm a genuine person. What we call tocho kibaro. I am a person whose inside is like his outside. I don't try to project one image of piety, but on the inside of broken. And in fact, again, this was the greatness, and it was also something that caused David HaMelech much pain throughout his life, because one could have made the argument that David HaMelech perhaps should have gone out of his way to conceal certain things a little bit better, but he didn't. He was such a genuine person that he wore his accomplishments on his sleeves, and he wore his sins on his sleeve as well. So he says, Shafteini LeDavid. David is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, I want to have an open and honest conversation with you. Shafteini Hashem. You should judge me. Why? Ki ani betumi alachti. You see, the way the Malbim understands betumi is what? A completion. Completion meaning how? That inside and outside, I'm the same person. I'm a genuine individual through and through. Again, remember, genuineness, is that the right word? Genuinity? I don't know, whatever word, genuine kite, right? The idea is, I'm the same. I'm the same in and out. I'm not perfect. I'm not a tzaddik. But one thing you have to give me credit for is, I'm genuine. And the truth is, to be honest, we know that even in our interpersonal interactions, one of the things that we appreciate most from each other is genuine people, right? I don't have to be a tzaddik, but I have to be genuine, because the moment that I'm not genuine, by definition, that's deception. And the moment that a person is deceptive, that's an individual whom you can't really forge a meaningful relationship with. So, Shafteini Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to judge me. Why? Ki ani betumi halachti. I'm genuine. I'm complete. What you see is what you get. Uba Hashem batachti. And you know that I try my best to put my faith in you. Lo emad. But you know, I'm genuine, but yet I'm deficient. I'm genuine, yet I'm not complete, because of Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to hold me up. Look at number 8, the Malbim says, he goes on. Remember, go back, I'm sorry, before number 8, just look back for one moment to Pasuk Beis, in number 1. Because the Malbim goes on, he says, Bichaneni Hashem, literally examine me, or test me, God, Vinaseni, try me, Sarfal kilyosai vilibi. Literally, it's interesting. The English translation over here is refine my reins and my heart. Kilyosai could also mean what? Kloyos, like the kidneys. That's a term that's often used by Chazal. The kidneys are supposed to also represent bina, supposed to represent knowledge, supposed to represent resilience. So David HaMelech again says in Pasuk Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, test me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, examine me, help me refine myself. So the Malbim says in number 8, Bechaneni, Neget HaPa'ulos, Sheheim B'Temimos Omer, Bechaneni Hashem V'Naseni, Ki HaMa'asim Shelo Yutmimim, Ritzoni Asher Lo Ya'asem Mitzad HaTov Atzmo, Rak ba'avor pinios chitzonios mi'agayva v'achoni fukudoma lo ya'amod bam be'es nisayon. So the Malbim says that when David HaMelech says bechaneni Hashem, that's referring to actions. God, I want you to examine my actions. Tell me if you find something within me that's not genuine. Now, when would a person not become genuine? Sometimes people in life do things for all type of ulterior motives. Like, for example, you could have an activity or an action that is a good action, but yet it's done for the wrong motivations. A person could do chesed. So you see, chesed is beautiful. But if a person does chesed to win the praise of others, if a person does chesed because they want covet, now again, I would argue that it's still better to do that than to do, it's still chesed, the act itself is still good, but just understand, you know, one of the most important things that Judaism preaches is self-awareness. Self-awareness, you know why you do the things that you do. And it's okay, if right now if I'm doing chesed because I want honor, because I want covet, shalom lishma, ba lishma, there's an idea that if you start by doing things for the wrong reasons, you'll graduate, and you'll be, but the idea is self-awareness. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think I'm genuine. I think I'm genuine. Shatini Hashem, keep it to me. I think I'm genuine. But you know, God, I'd like to know what you think. Bechanini Hashem, look at my actions. I do many things. Remember, you know, the greatness of David HaMelech, actually, in Shabbos afternoon, we're learning Shmuel Beis right now, and we just started the monarchy of David. And one of the great things about David HaMelech was he was not an ivory tower monarch. David HaMelech was very much involved in the day-to-day affairs of the people. In fact, the Navi says that David HaMelech created a kingdom of tzedakah u'mishpat. So you know, so the Mefarshim understand that what does that mean? That David HaMelech, if somebody was in financial trouble, David HaMelech knew about it and helped. Can you imagine this? Like it's like lahavdil. Like imagine like the king running Avas Yisrael. You know, the king running a tzedakah fund. Like it's not things that kings do. Mishpat, when people had altercations, people had disagreements, where would they come? They would come to David HaMelech. Right? I guess this was before Judge Judy, you know, whatever it is. You know, people, again, they would come to David HaMelech to adjudicate their day-to-day disputes. It's an amazing thing. So David HaMelech saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, listen, look at my actions. I think I'm genuine, but God, I'd like to know what you think. The Malbim goes on. He says, "Lokeinam asim asim b'tmimus gam kesof tzaruch v'neged mashakasav b'Hashem b'tachti shubi tachon halev amatzarfa." So the Malbim says elsewhere that when he says v'naseini means, and look at my emotions and look at my thoughts, test those. I want to know what you think of those as well. So what comes out is two different understandings as to what the tone of the particular kapitel is. So again, we have Rav Hirsch explaining that what David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, everybody agrees that LeDavid means this is not a prophecy, this is not prophetic in terms of David's life, prophetic in terms of the future. This is David's free flow consciousness. David giving us a window into his heart, into his mind, into his soul. According to Rav Hirsch, the whole theme of this kapitel is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've done the best that I can, but I have a lot of gray in my life. So what I need to know is, am I on the right path? Have I made the right decisions? And God, don't be scared. If I'm wrong, if I've made mistakes, just tell me. Just tell me, because I'm courageous enough to own my mistakes, and I'm courageous enough to engage in course-correcting activity. That's Rav Hirsch. According to the Malbim, Radak Mitzudas David, what's happening over here is the following. David HaMelech is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a genuine person. He doesn't say it, but derech gaiva, because remember, this genuineness also means that I accept my flaws. I don't project the fact that I'm a tzaddik, because David HaMelech says, I'm not a tzaddik. I'm just not a tzaddik. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm genuine, but God, I'd like to know what you think. And therefore, again, Pasuk Beis, Bechanini, Please, look at my actions. Are they genuine? Vinaseni, look, examine my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings. Are they genuine as well? So here, we have, according to the second approach, David HaMelech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel like I'm genuine, but I'd like some divine feedback if I am indeed genuine. But then we come to number 9. And now we have a dramatically different understanding of this capital. This Gemara, yes. I would tell you even better. God answers every single question. If you ask this question, Kadosh Baruch Hu will answer you as well. You just have to be attentive enough in life to see the answers. The answers always come. They always come. So if you're a Navi, so maybe you could get a direct word of God, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu always answers questions. Just it doesn't come in the form of an email, memo from God. You know, you have to be attentive enough in life to be able to see the messages that come your way. David happens to get some direct answers. David happens to get direct answers. We get more indirect answers. Wonderful. That's up to you. That's up to you. Meaning, if you want to be on that level, 100%. Meaning, you understand that when we say it would be nice to be on that level, what we're really saying is, excuse me, it would be nice to be on that level, but I really don't want to do all that work, right? It would be nice to be on that level. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of like is like their home delivery of prophecy. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to sit on my couch. I'm ready for it. Lay it on me. It's not the way it works. If you want it, just like most things in life, if you want it badly enough, there's a way to elevate oneself so that one could see the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. It's just a lifetime of work. Yes?
Thank you. So I also was going to ask about the general concept, but when you say that David got some direct answers, David himself was not a Navi, so he got some direct answers to Hassan Navi or whatever.
Correct.
He
had intuitive answers. He had life circumstances answers, and David HaMelech was on the level that he was able to see. Again, you're right, he has an advantage that he does have a prophet, and the prophet is able to tell him. It's 100%. But very often, David did not even get direct answers through the prophet himself. David HaMelech intuitively understood the word of God through the circumstances around him in life. Yes?
In a previous lecture, you spoke about David, even Moses, asking for tools. And I think in finding answers, we have the tools, the study, the Torah knowledge that we have, just the knowledge of what we're all about and what we aspire to. These are all guides and tools that can help
Beautiful.
You get the answers and the inspiration. That
Beautiful. You. Absolutely right. Beautiful. Thank you.
Is it just a comment? It's interesting that Rabbi Hirsch talks about it as something of owning up to his failures or inadequacies. When there's a medrash that says that David has the 70 years from Adam who said it was my wife who did this, it was that woman you gave me. So it seems like that is a piece of David that you see consistent in his life. Hmm. That he's always
mechaper. He's mechaper for Adam. That's interesting. In general, I never comment on the sin of Chava in a women's shir because it's not going to end well for me. So I will say, but that is a very interesting observation that David HaMelech almost is like the exact opposite of Adam HaRishon. Adam's sin was not even that he ate. Adam's sin is that he couldn't own his act versus beautiful. Beautiful.
That was like his. In 70 years was...
It's from Adam. Beautiful. Beautiful thought. Beautiful thought. Take a look at number 9. So now, this is quite a dramatic Gemara. We're not going to do all of it, but I put it all on the sheet here so you can see it. So the Gemara said the following. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Li'olam al yavi Adam atzmo li'deni sayon. Bless you. A person should never bring himself to a test. A person should never put himself in a test. We don't do that. I mean, we don't say, you know what, I'm pretty sure of myself and therefore I'm going to test my spiritual, mental, spiritual resolve by putting myself in a place where I'm going to be challenged. Shahari, where do we know this from? Shahari, David Melech Yisrael, hevi atzmo lidei nisayon v'nichshal, because David HaMelech put himself in the midst of a test and he failed. And he failed. What happened? What is this talking about? Amar lefan of ribono shel olam, mipnei ma omrim elokei Avram, elokei Yitzhak, velokei Yaakov, the ain't omrim elokei David. So the Aramel says, oh, here's something that at first glance just seems strange. So the Aramel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, why is it? And by the way, this, of course, can't really even be understood literally, because the formulations that he's referring to, the brachos, did not come until way after David HaMelech. This is a formulation of the bracha of Avos and Shemona Esrei. Avos and Shemona Esrei was created by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the men of the Great Assembly, after the destruction of the first temple, which, of course, again, is hundreds of years after David HaMelech. So, okay, but the Gemara is saying metaphorically, what David HaMelech is asking is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, clearly you feel the Avos are the pillars of the nation. Why am I not a pillar of the nation? Now, still, what does that mean? So if you just hold your finger in the place here for a moment and just skip to number 10, just for one moment, we're going to come back. So this is from the Sefer Ben Yehoyada. And the Sefer Ben Yehoyada was written by the chief rabbi of Baghdad in the 1800s. So the Ben Yehoyada writes, he says, Kasha, second line, Matam matza davar amalach alavashon levakish kazos, vala Moshe rabbin alavashon kodamine, vein omrim eloke Moshe, vichisanka dainte de David lios adif min Moshe rabbinu. So the idea is, so the Ben Yehoyada says, David, what are you talking about? It almost seems like a little bit arrogant, right? We don't say eloke Moshe, and yet Moshe rabbinu was before David, and there was never a prophet like Moshe rabbinu. So why does David think that he's entitled to be on the stature of the Avos? So the Ben Yehoyada writes, venirli b'siyata d'shmaya. Just as an aside, by the way, you can always see the difference between Sephardic authors and Ashkenazic authors. Sephardic authors, whenever they write their insights, always write B'siyata D'Shmaya beforehand. It's an amazing idea because there's an understanding that any novel idea you have in Torah is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, B'siyata D'Shmaya. Ashkenazim, we feel that way also, but Sephardim are a little bit more effusive in their feelings of this. So he says, V'nirli B'siyata D'Shmaya, ki hu ra'a es atzmo omeit, v'achuz beregel revi'i shalakise. Chazal have this image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a throne. And on the throne, right, like most thrones, there have to be legs. So Chazal always talk about this idea that the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests on three legs. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So says the Ben Yehoyada, David HaMelech says, I always thought that I was going to be that fourth leg. And remember, that fourth leg is ultimately what gives the throne incredible stability. Now, why would David HaMelech think this? So the Ben Yehoyada goes on to explain, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech that he is going to be the father of a dynastic monarchy. Remember again, David HaMelech was not just another king. David HaMelech was the first of a whole line of monarchs. A line of monarchy so strong that what? That it extends to this very day, not in an active form, but that the Melech HaMashiach is going to come forth from David HaMelech. So just like the Avos infused a certain eternality into the Jewish people, King David also has a certain eternal stake in the Jewish people. And therefore, David HaMelech says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, tell me, God, if I'm going to be the father of this dynastic monarchy, if I'm going to be the father of the Melech HaMashiach, then why am I not on the level of the Avos? Now, what David HaMelech is really asking is, Kadosh Baruch Hu, how do I become like the Avos? How do I become, what do I need to do to bring myself up to a level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So back to number 9. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. Number 9, again, if you're following in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic, three lines in. In the English, also three lines in. So Amr, so God responds to David HaMelech, and he says, Inhu minsuli va'at lo minastali. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I'm going to tell you. The truth is, you know how the Avos became Avos? Through tests. Each of them had their nisyonos, each of them had their tests, and those tests forged their identity, and as a result of the turbulence of those tests, they became great men. And God says to David, the truth is, you haven't been tested. Again, David has his challenges, but he has, remember, this is early on in David HaMelech's life. You haven't been tested. Amar lefano ribono shel olam, bichaneni v'naseni. You recognize that phrase? Right, that's from our kapitel. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, test me. Bring it on. I can handle it. Now, by the way, just before even we go on, what we see now, by the way, is the Gemara is giving a dramatic different interpretation into this kapitel. What happened in this kapitel? L'David. David is wondering to himself, says the Gemara, why can't I be like, what do I need to do in order to be like an Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And what happens? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shafteni Hashem, please, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I think I should be the fourth leg of the chair. God says to him, you haven't been tested. So what does David say to God in Pasuk Beis? Bichaneni Hashem. Vinaseni, fine. Test me. So God goes on. God responds. He says, "Shene'emar b'chanani yeshev v'nasini amar minasi lecha va'avitna milsa b'hadach d'lidido lo." God says, "David, I'm going to test you, but I'm going to do for you something that I didn't do for the avos. Is I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you." I never told the avos about their tests before they occurred, but for you, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about your test before it occurs. I'm going to even give you a heads up about the nisayon. And what did he say to David? I'm going to test you with a matter of morality. Your challenge is going to be in the moral sphere. So I'm giving you a heads up now about, I'm telling you that I'm testing you, and I'm even telling you about the manner of which I'm going to test you. What happened? Vayhi miyad, vayhi le'es erev, vayakam David me'al mishkavo. So the Navi tells, that night, what happened? David HaMelech woke up in the middle of the night. Amra Yehuda shahafach mishkavo shalayla l'mishkavo shalyom. So this is actually very interesting. The Gemara actually goes into quite explicit detail that David HaMelech, realizing that he was going to be tested in matters of morality, that day had relations with his wife during the day. Why? So that his desires should be satisfied and that he should not even have a temptation for any other kind of immorality. He shouldn't. So he tried, again, David HaMelech trying to so to speak, get in front of the Nisayon by proactively satisfying his desires in order that he should not be challenged. Skip down a few lines, the Gemara says. So what happens? That night he's up. The Gemara is trying to understand why he's up at night. So the Gemara says, Vayishalich agag beis HaMelech. So he's up at night. He's walking on the rooftop. Vayar isha rochetses me'al hagag. Vahaisha tovas mare ma'od. And what does he see opposite his rooftop? He sees a beautiful woman bathing on her rooftop. Batsheva hava, it was Batsheva, kachayfa resha, v'tu seichalsa. Now obviously, Batsheva is not bathing in public. So what, and she's not just on a rooftop. What did she have? She had a screen, a sheet up that would have blocked her from view. What happened? Asan, asa satan idmi lekitzafirta, pasuk begira, paska lechalsa, Igla v'chazia. So what happens? David HaMelech is standing on his roof. He doesn't see anything. He sees a bird flying around. He takes out his arrow. He tries to shoot at the bird. This was the Satan who appeared as a bird. He shoots at the bird, and what happens? The bird flies away, and he pierces the screen. At that point in time, he sees Batsheva unclothed. So what happens? Paske l'chazia, igle v'chazia. She was revealed, and he saw her. Miyad, immediately, so David HaMelech becomes so desirous of her. Miyad, vayishlach David, vayidrash le'isha. Immediately, David HaMelech wakes up, everybody. Who is the woman? Vayomer halo, zos bas sheva, bas eliam, eishes uri hachiti. It's Batsheva, and she's someone's wife. Vayishlach David malochim, vayikacheha, vatovo elav, vayishkav ima, vehi miskadeshes mitum asa, vateshev el besa. Immediately he sends for her. Again, we'll actually get into this later on. Miskadeshes mitum asa means she had actually just recently been tova. She had immersed for the mikvah for nida purposes. That's a totally separate discussion, which we'll get into. We'll spend a lot of time on Batsheva as her own subject. So David sleeps with her, vateshev el besa, and he sends her back home. So look how the Gemara ends. Look at the last line. Amr, Echu zimama nafa bapume demandis sunnily. Below Amr la hamilsa. David HaMelech says, would that a brittle had fallen into the mouth of mine enemy that I had not spoken thus. A brittle is like the thing that goes into the animal's mouth. So David HaMelech said, essentially, if only somebody would have shut me up when I challenged God to test me. So what comes out over here is something absolutely dramatically amazing. That David HaMelech, this entire capital of Bechaneni V'naseni, is ultimately about the episode where David HaMelech, again, in a good way, wants to raise himself up to the level of the Avos. He wants to come patriarchal in nature. But he says, Kadosh Baruch, the only way you could come like that is through challenge. And David HaMelech proactively asks for challenge. Remember how the Gemara ends up, how the Gemara starts. The Gemara starts by saying, Li'olam al yavi adam atzmo lidin yisayon. A person should never put himself in a state of being tested. A person should not knowingly insert him or herself into a situation where they're going to be bombarded and challenged. Why? Because David HaMelech tried it And it didn't work out very well. In fact, if you look at number 11, we say this every morning in Birchos HaShachar. What do we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say to God, V'lo lidei nisayon. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to put us in challenge's way. Don't put me in a situation I'm going to be challenged, because Ribono Shel Olam, I'd like to think that I could stand up to challenge. I'd like to think that I could retain my moral high ground, but at the end of the day, I don't know. And therefore, Ribono Shel Olam, don't put me in this. Look at this. Look at number 12. The Gemara Maseches Kiddushin says something amazing. The Gemara says, Tanra Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Kasha Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is very difficult. Shafilu Yotzro Karo Ra. Listen to this, because even the one who created the Yetzer Hara, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, calls his creation Ra. So meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the father, so to speak, of the Yetzer Hara. But even the father calls his creation bad. Shne'emar ki Yetzer Leifa Adam Ra Minu Arav. Amrab Yitzchok. Yitzro Shel Adam Mischadesh Alav B'chol Yom. A person's Yetzer Hara renews against him every day. Shne'emar Rak Ra Kalayom. V'amrab Shimon Levi. Amrab Shimon Levi. Yitzro Shel Adam Miskaber Alav B'chol Yom. Every single day, the Yitzhar, now we understand when Chazal speak about a Yitzhara, it's not a little red guy on my shoulder with a pitchfork, right? The idea is the Yitzhara ultimately is my internal drives. Every single, we're human beings. So by definition, we're carnal beings. We have desires, we have lusts, we have wants, and those things pull us in all kinds of directions each and every day. And not only that, here's the amazing part. You see, most things, as you become more proficient at it, they become easier. So you would think, if I combat the Yetzer and keep him in check on Monday, then Tuesday should be a little easier. And if I do it on Tuesday, then Wednesday should be, until by the end of the week, it should really be smooth sailing, right? So the Gemara says, you know what the amazing part about the Yetzer Hara is? It doesn't matter how many times you beat him down, he becomes stronger every single day. It's just the nature, it's the carnal nature of who and what we are. He becomes stronger every day. Umavaki shamiso, and the Yetzer has one desire, which is literally to kill me, which means not literally to kill me, but to pull me down into the depths of depravity. Shene Emar quotes the Pasuk, but here's the last thing I want to focus you on. The Ilmalia Kodesh Baruchu Ezro Ein Yochalo. If it were not for the fact that God helps me each and every day overcome the Yetzer Hara, there'd be no way that I could meet the challenge. Shene'emar, Elokim lo ya'azvenu biados. You know what's amazing? Ruchaim Shmulevitz comments on this in Isichos Musar, and he says, you know what we see from here? The Ribono Shel Olam gives me the assistance, the tools, to meet the challenges that he, God, puts me in. But if I create my own challenges, Ribono Shel Olam says, you're on your own for that one. Right? If I make bad life decisions and put myself in compromised circumstances, and as a result, I am being bombarded. As a result, I'm being tested. Ribono Shel Olam says, I'm sorry. If you got yourself into this mess, then you have to get yourself out of this mess. And that, says Ruchaim Shlomo, is exactly what happened with David HaMelech. The Ribono Shel Olam does, David, listen, you know why I never tested you like this? Because I knew you weren't ready for it. You weren't ready for it. David, if you really think you're ready for it, okay, you're ready to put yourself in such a matzav. Just understand, I know you're not ready for it. And that's why I never put you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, it sounds cliche and it sounds trite, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu never puts us in a situation that we cannot handle. If we're in it, it means I can handle it. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's pleasant. It doesn't mean I enjoy it. It doesn't mean that I won't break at certain points, but it means if I'm in it, I can handle it. Versus when I knowingly walk into something, and so often in life, this is when we get into the most trouble. They're not circumstances that God put us in. They're bad decisions that we made that got us into bad places. And in those situations, the Ribono Shel Olam says, I'm sorry. We do it with our children also. Sometimes you have to let your kids get out of their own mess. If they made it, you have to figure out a way. You can get out of it, but you have to figure out a way to navigate it. Ribono Shel Olam says, I give you the nisayon, I'll give you the tools to get out of it. You put yourself in a nisayon, I'm sorry, that's when you're going to have to try to navigate yourself. And in fact, look at number 13. Hillel says, we only have two more minutes. Hillel Omer, Al Tifra Rosh Minat Zibor, we'll leave that for another time. Ve'al Tamin Ba'atzmecha Ad Yom Osecha. Now, what does that mean, Al Tamin Ba'atzmecha Ad Yom Osecha? So Hillel is such a real statement. Hillel is saying is, never think that you are beyond the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't matter how accomplished you are. It doesn't matter how holy you are, how pious you are, or even how old you are. You know, hopefully as we get older, some of those youthful desires die down a little bit, but the Yetzirah has an amazing way of restoking those fires at the most inopportune moments. And therefore, Hillel says, "Al ta'amin ba'atzmacha ad yom mosecha." You know when you're safe from the Yetzirah? You know when you're safe? When you're dead. That's when you're safe. That's when you can claim, Yetzirah, I beat you. And by the way, you didn't even beat the Yetzirah. God beat the Yetzirah in that situation. When you're dead, you're safe. When you're alive, by definition, just always know that you're vulnerable. Now, why is this all important to bring this all together? Because what Hillel is also saying, and really what the Gemara number 12 is saying, and what the whole Gemara is saying by David HaMelech, what does it mean that you shouldn't bring yourself to a challenge? You know, this is an amazing thing, but we always speak about challenging ourselves. We always speak about pushing ourselves. Life is about the challenge. So what's the pshat? There's a very fine line. A person has to know what they're capable of. You know, life is a very nuanced dance. On one hand, you can't be complacent and just simply live without pushing yourself, because then you don't get anywhere. On the other hand, you have to make sure that whatever you bite off, you have the ability to chew. Because if you go ahead and you bite off too much, you're going to drown. Let me show you an amazing example of this. Take a look at number 14. This is in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Torah says, "V'sarei eishes Avram lo yolada, lo yolda lo, v'la shivchas mitzvis u'shma Hagar." So what happens? You know the story. Sarai Aminu doesn't have children, but she has a maidservant, Hagar. "V'tomer Sarai al Avram, hinei ne'atzarani Hashem yiladis bono shivchasi ulai ibana mimeno, v'yishma Avram l'kol Sarai." So Sarai Aminu, again, magnificent gesture, says to her husband, "Listen, I'm not having children. Take my maidservant. I'll be built up through her." Pasuk Gimel, "V'tikach Sarai eishes Avram es Hagar mitzvus shivchasa miketz es rishonim l'sheves Avram eretz." And amazingly enough, the Mefarshim point out that Sarah gives Hagar to Avraham. It says Li'isha. Li'isha means what? As a wife, as opposed to what? As opposed to a Pilegesh, a concubine. I mean, she could have given her maidservant to her husband as a Pilegesh. The difference between a Pilegesh and the wife, I guess I have to be careful with this also, right? The difference between a Pilegesh and the wife is just Ksuva. Really, that's what it is. It's a marital responsibility. So a man has much less responsibility towards a Pilegesh than he does to a full-fledged wife. So Sarai Aminu says, no, if we're going to build a nation, it can't be built through concubines. It has to be built through a full-fledged wife. So what happens? Vayava el Hagar, vatahar. Hagar becomes pregnant from Avram immediately. Vatir ki arasa vatel givita baina. And now what happens? Hagar becomes pregnant immediately, and she begins to look down on Sarah. Vatomer Sarai Avram. So Sarai Aminu lets Avram have it. You're seeing this lady disparage me, and you don't do anything. Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Avram Asari to Avram. Avram says, whoa. That's not a direct quote, right? But whoa, okay, this was your idea, lady. It was not mine. But fine, here's what we're going to do. Hine shivchasech biyadech. Listen, she's your maidservant. You deal with it. Whatever you want to do, do. Hato b'nei v'ta'ana sarai. Sarah, Sarai mistreated Hagar. V'ta'ana literally means she afflicted her. Whatever she did, she physically afflicted her. And Hagar ultimately runs away. Look at Ramban number 15. The Rabban says, "Vata'anea Sarai, Sarai afflicted. She abused Hagar, Vatibrach, and she ran away." Look at the Rabban says, "Chata imenu bi'inui hazeh." Sarai imenu made a terrible mistake. She should have never mistreated Hagar. Vigam Avraham. How can you abuse an individual? You don't like the way that Hagar is treating you? Okay, there are ways to deal with that. So you can send her away if you want to. But what right do you have to mistreat? What right do you have to abuse her? Sarai Aminu was faulted for abusing her. And Avram is faulted for what? For allowing it to occur. Listen to how the Ramban ends. And this is very scary. V'shama Hashem Elanya. God heard the suffering of Hagar. V'nasan la ben. She hey para adam. And God gave her a son who would be a wild man. Yishmael. La'anos Zera Avraham v'Sara b'chol mina inui. And what's the midah k'neged midah? God gave Hagar a son who would afflict the children of Avram and Sarah to this very day. Yes. Says the Ramban. You know why we contend with Yishmael to this very day? You know why today, again, and by the way, it's not just us, why the world has to contend ultimately with militant Islam? Where does that come from? You know, everybody says everything is the Jews' fault. So this one might be a little bit true. That ultimately says the Ramban, because again, Avraham and Sarah mistreated Hagar. As a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a son who would mistreat the offspring of Avraham and Sarah. But look at number 16. Nechama Leibowitz Zichrona Livracha, has a beautiful and a very meaningful insight into this. And she writes the following. Sarah, she would have been magnanimous. She should have been magnanimous and not taking advantage of her power over her handmaid. So that's what Ramban says. Okay, so sorry, I mean, just because she had the power to punish her, she shouldn't have done it. But look what Nechama Leibowitz says. Thus, our commentators find no excuses to condone Sarah's behavior. Look for no psychological explanations in extenuation of her deeds. No appraisal of Sarah's character could condone the sin of Sarah dealt harshly with her. Meaning that Chazal said she did something wrong. So why is it here? Why is this? What are we to learn from this story? So look what she writes. Perhaps the Torah wished to teach us that before man undertakes a mission that will tax all his moral and spiritual powers, he should ask himself whether he can maintain those same high standards to the bitter end. Otherwise, man is liable to descend from the pinnacle of altruism and selflessness into the much deeper depths that would ordinarily have been the case. Had Sarah not wished to suppress her instincts and overcome every vestige of jealousy for her rival, had she not dared to scale these unusual heights of selflessness, she would not have fallen victim to the sin of Sarah dealt harshly with her. And there may not have been born that individual whose descendants have proved a source of trouble to Israel to this very day. Who knows? What Nechama Leibowitz says is something amazing. What did Sari Imenu do? Sari Imenu tried to be uber human. She tried to go above and beyond in a magnificent way. What did she do? You know, if you notice, throughout Tanakh, there's one thing that always remains clear, which is polygamous marriages never work. And that's, by the way, an incredible understatement. Right? The Torah calls a second wife what? A tzara. And by the way, that's not a reflection on the woman. That's a reflection ultimately on the circumstance. It's a recipe for disaster. You have two women vying for the attention of one man. It's a disaster. But what did Sari Imenu feel? Sari Imenu thought, you know what? I can rise above all of this. I can rise above this. I'm Sari Imenu. I'm a major. I can be better than all this. And I'm going to take my maidservant, who's a station lower than me. And what am I going to do? I'm going to elevate her to the level of an equal to a peer. And you know what? We're going to be one big happy family. We're going to be one, and we're going to love each other, and we're going to respect each other, and we're going to get along, and we're going to be a light unto this. We're going to show everybody how this is done. And says Nechama Leibowitz, says the Ramban, it was never going to work. It was never going to work. You tried something, Sari Imenu, that you were really incapable of carrying through on. It's not a deficiency in Sari Imenu. It's just because Sari Imenu is a human being. Sari Imenu is a woman. Sari Imenu is a wife. So what do you think, that now you're going to transcend all of that and do something amazing? It wouldn't work. It says Nechama Leibowitz, you know what the Torah is teaching us? The Torah is teaching us is make sure to be careful what you take on. Make sure that what you take on are things you can sustain. Make sure that what you take on are challenges that you're really able to go ahead and see through, and not things that will bring you to your knees. Because if you ultimately take on the wrong challenges in life, if you try to be more than you're really capable at this point in time of being, not only will you fail, but what? Not only will you fail, but what? You'll regress. Not only will you not grow, you'll regress. Not only will you not move forward, you will be brought back. And I think if we bring this all together, this is really what David HaMelech is saying in this particular capital, according to this approach. L'David, what is David HaMelech saying over here? He's saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I learned something very important. Because you see, in this capital, once upon a time, I asked you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shafteini. I asked you to judge me because I thought that I was capable of being like one of the patriarchs. I thought that I should be able to assume my role as the fourth leg of the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought, and therefore I asked you, Bichanini Hashem, Vinaseini. I thought I was ready to withstand any challenge you threw at me. And you know what? You know what? I was wrong. I wasn't ready. I wasn't yet ready. And because I wasn't ready, I failed. And remember again, I don't have to say this, but I'll say it. The episode of Bathsheba colors David HaMelech's entire life. This was the defining, if you would ask David HaMelech, what was the most pivotal event in your life? And pivotal doesn't have to mean good. David HaMelech would have said, Bathsheba. Later on, they together bring Shlomo HaMelech into this world. But at the end of the day, this was the event that changed everything. And it never went away. And why did it occur, says the Gemara? Because David thought he could handle more than he could handle. Why do we suffer with Yishmael to this very day, says the Ramban? Because Sari Imenu felt that she could handle more than she could actually handle. So what's amazing over here is now David HaMelech is saying is like this. Le David, remember, means what? David HaMelech is not prophecy. David HaMelech giving us a window into his own mind. Let me tell you the life lessons that to me are so important. David HaMelech says in life, you have to have realistic expectations of who you are and who you're not. Life is all about setting goals. Life is all about pushing myself further. Life is all about taking upon myself certain challenges. But I also have to have a realistic conception of who I am and what I'm not. I have to take on the right kind of challenges. I have to take on the right kind of things, because if I take on more than I could chew, what's going to happen? Not only will I fail, but ultimately I will regress. So David HaMelech teaching us such a profound idea. And I want to tell you this, I think, is one of the most difficult concepts in life, because often the way people internalize this message is, okay, I'm not going to push myself. I shouldn't take on too much because I don't want to fail. That's not what David HaMelech is saying over here. Life is all about pushing yourself. Life is all about living outside of your comfort zone. Life is all about never being comfortable where you are. You know, people don't like to hear this, but I think Klal Gadol in Judaism is, you should never be comfortable with the person you are. Why? Because you know the person you can be. Again, you should be somewhat comfortable with who you are. But the idea is that a person should never be too comfortable in their own skin. A person always has to move. A person always has to do. Besides, he will become overly ambitious. Judaism preaches ambition, but too much blind ambition ultimately gets people in trouble. Get David in trouble, got Soymeno in trouble. Therefore, LeDavid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's one lesson I learned from the episode where I asked you, God, to challenge me, is that a person must have a constant awareness of who I am, what I am, where I'm holding in life, what I could handle, and what I can't. So when I take on my challenges, you know, for image purposes, you know what life is all about? You're supposed to reach for things that you can't reach. But they're only supposed to be a little bit beyond your grasp. Because if you're reaching for things that are just too far out, you're not going to get there. And what ends up happening is you'll fall and you'll fail and you regress. But if you reach for things that are just too easily graspable, then you're not pushing yourself in life. So it has, the things in life that we go for have to be just a little bit beyond us, that we have to stretch ourselves, but not too far beyond us that we fail, fall, and ultimately regress. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Emir Tashem, we'll continue with this capital next week.